I'd rather be on this side. If that's okay.
That's fine with me.
Where I need to be.
And
did anybody really get like?
I woke up randomly at like 3:30 and just checked my phone and it was like, it's normal. But I looked out and you couldn't see it. GCS said that everything's canceled until 11. That was good.
We gather in the Lord's house this Epiphany Sunday morning to encounter Christ. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship this morning. And all God's people said?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. What a beautiful prelude to begin our time of worship this morning. Good morning. Thank you for joining us for worship on this Epiphany Sunday morning. We hope that you will be touched by your encounter with Christ in worship this morning, just as the Magi were many, many years ago. If you are a first-time guest with us, thank you for joining us for worship this day. Would ask that if you have a chance to fill out a visitor's card that's located in the pew in front of you, and then as you leave worship following the worship service today, just drop that off in the offering plate and we'll follow up with you this week. For those that are joining us this morning online via Facebook Live, thank you for joining us in worship this day. If this is the first time joining us online, send me an email this week. Let me follow up with you and let you know that we're thankful for that you've joined us online. If you are watching us online this morning, I also want to encourage you to go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org. There you can pull up our worship bulletin, use that as a resource, not just for this hour of worship, but also for the ministries coming up in the life of our church. For those that are gathered in our sanctuary this morning, a few things that I do want to mention to you and point out to you as well. A reminder that immediately following worship today, we are inviting you to stay and enjoy a time of lunch upstairs in our fellowship hall. I think we're having pizza and salad for our lunch today. And then just like we did weeks ago when we decked the halls, when we decorated our church building with the Advent and Christmas decorations that you've seen over the last few weeks, we are going to undeck the halls today. So we need your help. Stay around and enjoy lunchtime and join us as we take down some of these Christmas decorations. All are invited to stay for it. Be a wonderful time of fellowship this afternoon as well. Also, reminder that this afternoon at 4 p.m. I'll be starting our new winter Bible study. It'll be taking places on Sunday afternoons at 4 o'clock. The new study that we'll be starting today is called the Sermon on the Mount. This is a six-week video study by Professor Amy Jill Levine. We'll be looking at the lessons that Jesus gave to us in that Sermon on the Mount that's found in Matthew chapter 5. It's a powerful lessons that we learn, not just for us today, but what it meant for the followers of Jesus as he taught them back then, and then how it still applies today and how it's very relevant as we seek to build the kingdom of God. So join me this afternoon at 4 o'clock for our time of study, but you also can watch that on Facebook Live if you can't join me in person today, or at some point in the later future, you can always go to our Facebook page and follow up for that time of study. Looking ahead to this week, a few things you'll see in your bulletin today. One especially thing I want to mention is we were supposed to have our senior adult breakfast this Tuesday at 9 a.m. However, if you looked at the radar, the weather does not look good on Tuesday. It's supposed to be pretty nasty weather this coming week, and so that ministry is not going to take place. So no senior adult breakfast on Tuesday at 9 a.m. However, on Tuesday afternoon, still planning to go to the Golden Years Senior Center for bingo at 1:30. If you'd like to go and participate in that ministry, you can talk to Sandy French this morning. Also on Wednesday, Circle of Friends will be meeting at 1:45. This is our group that goes and visits some of our shut-ins around in the community. If you'd like to participate in that group, all you have to do is show up at 1:45 upstairs in the Truth Seekers classroom. That's where this group meets before they go and visit. So anybody who would like to go and participate with that group is more than welcome to come and participate in that. Also, you'll notice on Wednesday, our choirs are starting back. Our handbell choir practice will be at 5:30, and then our adult choir rehearsal is at 6:30 on Wednesday. So please, if you're a part of those choirs, or if you would like to be a part of either of those choirs, you can talk to Gay, but also you can show up at 5:30 or 6:30 on Wednesday evening. Many of you have picked up your pictorial directories. If you have not stopped by the table of the foyer of the last two Sundays, I encourage you to do so as you leave this morning. Leslie Cornell will be outside in the foyer of following the worship service today. If you'd like to pick up one of the pictorial directories, they are a wonderful asset, a wonderful resource. I've already used mine multiple times this week. I hope you have as well. And nobody is new to the choir today, so y'all did a great job. Last week I threatened that if you pulled it out during my sermon, you were going to have to join the choir. Well, y'all did a great job last week. You didn't do that. But that does carry over to this Sunday. So, but again, I hope you'll use that as a resource in the coming year. A wonderful way to reach out and connect with our church family during this year. We are gathered here on this Sunday. This is the Sunday that's recognized as the story of Epiphany, where we recognize the wise men, the Magi, the three kings, as we often call them in history, as they came to encounter the new king that was born. May we encounter the Son just as they encountered the Son thousands of years ago. And they brought bearing gifts. They bore gifts with them as they came. And my question to you today, the question I'll be asking you in the sermon is what gifts are you bringing to the Savior this morning? Think about that as we worship this morning. Let us celebrate that truth in praise this day.
Now, I have a quick question for you this morning. How many of you recognize the song that Bert and Mark played this morning? Any of you? Some of you? A couple of you? If you look in page 112 in your hymn book, you will see the title of that song, He Is Born. And it's not a Christmas carol that we sing very often. But if you get a chance, just check out the words to it. The words are so powerful. So, while David's preaching, don't look at it, though. Let's stand and let's sing together, What Child Is This?
This morning, our opening scripture reading comes from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 60, verses 1 through 10. Hear these words. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the arm. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land. Young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. All Kedar's flocks will be gathered to you. The rams of Nebaioth will serve you. They will be accepted as offerings on my altar, and I will adorn my glorious temple. Who are these that fly along like clouds, like doves to their nests? Surely the islands look to me. In the lead are the ships of Tarshish, bringing your sons from afar with their silver and gold to the honor of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. For he has endowed you with splendor. Foreigners will rebuild your walls, and their kings will serve you. Though in anger I struck you, in favor I will show you compassion. Years and years and years before Christ was born, the prophet Isaiah spoke of kings that would come and worship the one who brought light to the darkness. And we can proclaim that today, that the one who brought light to the darkness was the Christ child, Jesus. Let us pray to him this morning. Let us pray. God of glory and grace, shine upon our worship with your presence this day. Shine in our hearts with your love. Shine in our lives with your grace, that we may arise with confidence and go forth to bring your justice and love to all. We lift this prayer in the name of the one who came to set all free, Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our next hymn today is We Three Kings, and we're going to sing this a little bit different than what's on your in the hymn book. We're going to sing the first verse in the chorus, Star of Wonder, Star of Night, that line. And then the second and third verses, we're not going to sing the chorus. And then we'll sing the chorus after the fourth and the fifth. So let's stand and let's worship together. Y'all got that?
Just follow us.
Just follow us.
Just read what's up there.
Yeah.
Fill that fountain.
You may be seated.
Our ministry highlight this morning emphasizes our January missions in gathering. And this month we're collecting dry food for the dogs and cats this winter season for the Burlington Animal Services. The animal shelter is in dire need of dry food for both cats and dogs during these winter months. The food collected will be used in their emergency pet food pantry. For many pet owners, this is the only thing keeping the pet owner from having to surrender their pets during these winter months. So the shelter is trying hard to keep pets and their families together. So I prayerfully ask that you prayerfully consider while you're out shopping during this month of January to pick up some dry food at the grocery store or wherever you might be, and donating them during the month of January. We have collection bins in the communication center downstairs here at the end of the hallway. Also, collection bin upstairs in the fellowship hall. All the food that we collect will be donated at the end of the month. And I thank you in advance for your support of this mission project during the month of January. Now at this time, I'll call on Deacon Brian Carroll for our offertory prayer.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come here today, before we talk about anything else, I want to thank you for our pastor. We want to lift him up, and he's too modest to admit when he doesn't feel good, and he's too good to not be here when he doesn't. Please strengthen him and encourage him, steady him, and give him relief as he brings your word today. Thank you for the people here, for the gifts that have been given. We pray, Lord, that we be reminded that while putting something in an offering plate is beneficial and it's what we've been called to do, what we're really called to bring you is our lives. We pray that we would take what's said here today, what's sung here today, that it would touch our hearts, and that we would leave here encouraged and empowered to live a life for you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Gay, and thank you, Bert, for our beautiful special music today. And Brian, I appreciate your prayer today. I appreciate all your prayers this morning. It's been another struggle weekend with my migraines, and never know when they're going to come, and I just know how to handle them when they are. And I told a few of you as you came in, y'all are coming into worship this morning, if I grip my pulpit really hard, it's not that I'm angry. I'm not trying to make a really hard point, and maybe I just need a little bit of balance today. So just know that that's what's going on today. Join me in prayer this morning as we seek to encounter God's word today. Let's pray. God of wonder and mystery, God of the stars and the universe, God of winding ways and straight paths, we gather today with gratitude for the gift of your constant presence, your trustworthy guidance, and your daring risk-taking with us. You dare to love us despite our inability to respond fully. You dare to care for us despite our challenge in caring for others. You dare to walk with us despite our fickleness. On our own journeys toward the stars and guiding points you put before us, you continue to lead us forward, guiding us by the teachings of Jesus to seek justice, love kindness, and walk humbly in your loving shadow. As we struggle with the political wrangling of the world, the wars waged by both justice and greed, the violence committed daily against the innocents, let alone the pain of broken relationships and loss, you remain steadfast in your care and devotion for your entire creation throughout the universe. It is almost too much to take in sometimes. And even in our doubts and disbelief, our struggle to understand and constant misunderstanding, Father, and our flat-out ignorance about your ways, you remain constantly present with us. We pray for peace in this world, this kind of peace in which we celebrate diversity, are joyfully challenged by adversity, and share in the joy that is to be found everywhere. We pray for those who are lonely, that you may lead us to reach out to them to be our friends. We pray for those who are hungry, that you might lead us to offer them sustenance. We pray for those who are lost, that you might lead us to give hope and direction. We pray for the countries of the world, that we might find a way to work together to lift one another up. We pray for our leaders, that your spirit might guide them to set an example for our country and the world to work together rather than against one another. And we pray for ourselves, that we might continue on this journey, learning the lessons that you offer, seeking the fullness of your perfection, and live as you would have us live. These prayers and hopes we offer in confidence and gratitude of your love and presence. Amen. Again, let me say good morning, and thank you for joining us for worship on this Epiphany Sunday morning. Today marks the end, or yesterday officially, but the end of the celebration of Christmas as we remember the arrival of the Magi to visit the Christ child. Now, there have been many details and tales that have emerged throughout history about these mysterious individuals from the East that ventured thousands of miles to visit this new king. And I'm not going to go into all the details about them. That could be two or three sermons long, and we only get one Sunday for Epiphany each Christmas season. But one of the most appealing stories that I've come across is a biblical story is actually from the Italian folktale that's titled Amal and the Night Visitors. Anybody raise your hand if you've ever read the story Amal and the Night Visitors? I see a few hands. Basically, in this tale, the three wise men are on the way to Bethlehem, and they come to the home of a poor woman who has a little boy named Amal. Amal is crippled and could not walk without the one lone crutch that he has. So on this evening, their humdrum existence was interrupted by loud knocking on the door. His mother said to Amal, "Go see who is at our door." Amal went to the door and then comes back to his mother and says, "Mama, a king is at our door." The mother lashed Amal with her tongue for exaggerating so much and sent him back to the door to see who is at their door. This time, Amal comes back to his mother and says, "But Mom, there are two kings at our door." Amal was in big trouble this time. So for a third time, he's sent to the door. And this time, Amal returns to his mother and he says, "But Mama, there are three kings at our door." Eventually, after all kinds of conversation takes place, the mother finally goes to the door. And yes, Amal was telling the truth. There were three kings or three wise men at the door, in which she immediately ushers them into her house. After much conversation, the wise men share about where they're journeying to and why they have been on this venture that they're on. Amal's mother wishes that she had something to give them to take to see the new king, something that the wise men could take on her behalf. But of course, she and Amal are very poor. Amal, sensing what is happening in his home and what's about to happen, says he wants to find something as well, and the only thing he has is the crutch that helps him walk. So, reaching for the crutch that's underneath his arm, he grabs the crutch and hands it to one of the wise men and says, "Please take this to the new king." The one thing that was indispensable to him, Amal was willing to give it away. He lifts the crutch up and they give it to the wise men. The wise men then leave. As the wise men are leaving, Amal walks the wise men to the door, and for the very first time, the mother sees that Amal can walk without the crutch that he has given. A miracle has taken place in his home. Without help, without his crutch, Amal could finally walk. Giving away the most valuable treasure that Amal had was the very thing that freed him from the need of having to use it at all. So as we arrive at Epiphany this day, this year in 2024, as we look ahead to the potential that this year has for each and every one of us, the question that I ask you is the same question that Amal asked himself in his home that very night. What gift do I have that I can bring to the new king? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the story of the Magi. It's found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. The words will be displayed on the screen, worship screens behind me as well. This is where we find the story of the wise men. We'll find it nowhere else in Scripture. It's only found in the Gospel of Matthew. It is during this time of year, Epiphany, that we commemorate this event in the Christmas story. It is a time when we, like the Magi who followed the distant star, are reminded of the fullest meaning of the coming of Jesus. It is a reminder that when you put your nativity scene out every Christmas season, and this will be my final reminder before next year, when you put your nativity scene out every single Christmas year, don't put your wise men out there with shepherds. They were never together. Don't put them out at the very beginning of Christmas because they were never there. And while this is an inaccurate portrayal of how the nativity scene looked like, most likely, when the wise men arrived to see the Christ child, he was a child. He was not a baby. They didn't come to the manger. He probably came to the home that Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus was in at that time. So make it a little bit interesting in your house. Put the wise men far away in the corner, away from the nativity scene. And as Christmas goes along, move it a little bit closer. And then as he gets a little bit closer after Christmas, move the shepherds to some other place. You know, just make it up. Spice it up a little bit. That's what I like to do anyway. The wise men have been in my office all Christmas season. They haven't been out here. You know, they've been out. Yeah, they've been having a good old time in my office. Anyway, reading Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12 this morning. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews?
We saw a star in the east and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, and by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. After that, after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. While they are often referred to as kings, it is probably more likely that these individuals from the east were astrologers or stargazers familiar in some way with the coming of the Messiah. Now, in our Advent study that we completed in the month of December, we even saw that these individuals, these magi, may have been even fire breathers or fire walkers, similar to individuals you may see in a circus. Now, some scholars speculate that these magi may have been descendants of some who have even encountered the messianic prophecies during the Babylonian captivity of the nation of Israel some centuries prior to the birth of Christ. Whatever their background is, and we don't know the exact details of it, but whatever their background is, they were individuals from the east who were provoked to action by a star which signaled a new king's birth. This new king we know now as Jesus the Christ. They came to worship at the feet of the newborn king, bearing uniquely valuable gifts. While often we imagine just three wise men coming, as the story of Amal and the Night Visitors share, the truth is there could have been dozens of wise men that traveled together. We often get the idea of three wise men or three kings from the Christmas carol, We Three Kings, or we get the idea of three from the idea of the three gifts that they brought, gold, incense, frankincense, or myrrh. But the truth is we don't know how many traveled together, probably more so because of the safety in numbers. But the question is, we asked this morning, is what gifts do you bring just as the gifts that were brought by the Magi? God has placed incredible gifts of value inside each one of us. That's the first thing we have to recognize. Each one of us has incredible gifts of value inside of us. The Magi came before Jesus bearing gifts of incredible value. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh back in biblical times would have been worth significant amount of value. God has placed gifts of incredible value inside each one of you. It may not be monetarily valuable, but to him, it's immeasurable. Just as the Magi brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, each of us bears these incredible gifts to be given, to be used, to glorify, and to build up the kingdom of God. Now, our calling from God is to share whatever gifts that God has placed in each one of us for the common good, for the benefit and the mission of the community of faith. Now, I'm terribly afraid that too often many believers feel that today we don't recognize those gifts within ourselves, one, or we don't recognize the gifts that God gave us are to be used for him. We like to use them for us, not for him. The first thing we need to recognize is this. We are called to use these gifts for two very important reasons. Two life-changing reasons if we do so. First, to instruct,
And second, to share the love of Christ. The mission of the church is twofold. And it's not the mission of the pastor. It's not the mission of any ordained individual. It's the mission of the church. And the church is the people that are called to minister within and through it. It is to instruct the saints, to instruct, to equip, to educate, and to equip the saints for the believers of the church, and to share the love of Christ with this world, which is in desperate need of hope. If the church doesn't have those two priorities in their mission, in their function, the church is not doing what it's supposed to be doing. Now, I'm sorry to say, oftentimes, too many churches think it's about coming together to have a good time. That's not why the church was put on this earth. The church was put to educate and to equip and then to go make more disciples. That's our responsibility. It's my responsibility, but guess what? It's not just my responsibility. Oftentimes we think, oh, well, that's the pastor's job, right? That's why we pay him, right? That's why he's here, right? If he does what he's supposed to do, then more people will be coming in the church. We have lots of people here. I'll come on Sunday. I'll put my donation in the offering plate. I'll give money so the pastor gets paid. He does his job. He goes out, brings people in. Then I feel good because I have more people to sit beside in the pew on Sunday morning, right? That's the way church works, right? Wrong. Wrong. Because we're all ministers. We're all called to share those gifts to grow the ministry. 1 Corinthians 12, 25-27 says, so that there be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. We are all members of one body, and our gifts, whatever they might be, are meant to serve one another so that the love of Christ may shine brightly in, around, and forth from the fellowship that we share together. I only have a limited number of gifts within me, but as I'm looking out to this congregation this morning, I'm seeing a lot more gifts. And when we all work together, God can do some absolutely incredible things if we're willing to share those gifts. Reminds me of a story of a pastor of a congregation in rural Pennsylvania. One day, he walked into his office and found two containers on his desk with a note from a thoughtful church member wishing that he and his wife would sample her home cooking. This is something that she saw as her gift. One container held some deliciously hearty soup, which they ate the next day at their home. The pastor tasted the other container on his desk, the other container of food, which appeared to be some odd squash-like dish. Being suspect and tasting kind of funny, he decided not to take it home to his wife and eventually just discarded it in the trash can when nobody would find it. Meanwhile, the pastor's wife thanked the woman the next Sunday for her gracious gift, especially for the soup. They didn't bring up the squash dish. They kind of avoided bringing it up at all because they felt guilty about throwing it away. Weeks later, the pastor was having a conversation with the church custodian about the damage that the craft projects that were being done in the children's wing were inflicting on the carpet in the children's classroom. Well, the custodian said, well, I already solved that problem. I already cleaned it up. Didn't you see that great wad of Play-Doh I put in a container on your desk just a couple weeks ago? The infamous squash dish. Sometimes we make mistakes about the gifts that are given to us or shown to us, don't we? Sometimes that happens. How often do we bear gifts as though they are burdens? How often do we look at our treasures that are given for us for fear of loss? The second thing we need to realize this about the gifts that God gives us is this. We gain confidence to use these gifts that are given to us from the Holy Spirit. You see, a lack of confidence in our ability to serve God with the gifts that He gives us reflects much more simply than a lack of confidence in ourselves. It reflects a lack of understanding of the true nature of the power of God to enable us. Acts 1:8, the words of Christ are recorded there. It says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth." We have at our disposal the power of God within us. As followers of Christ, we are given the matchless opportunity to experience the extraordinary power of God working in and through us. Jesus didn't leave us alone when He ascended into heaven. He said, "I'm sending the Holy Spirit, and He's going to come inside of you, and He's going to empower those gifts that are inside of you if you will let it." Pastor D.L. Moody once wrote, "God commands us to be filled with the Spirit, and if we are not filled, it is because we are living beneath our privileges." We hope that it might be not said that we lived as paupers, all the while being children of the King. The second thing about these gifts that we bring to the King is that we are capable, we are even worthy of holding and sharing our gifts with others. When the boys were growing up, Samuel and Luke were growing up, one of their favorite toys that they had was an Elmo toy bench. Elmo tool bench. On this tool bench that we had in our living room, you could find a hammer, a screwdriver, nails and screws, holes, made all kinds of noises, you know, holes to drive nails in, screws in, all kind of stuff. Anyway, the boys would often walk around the house with these plastic tools, bang on the walls, no big deal. We were never worried that they were going to be able to drive a nail into our wall with the Elmo hammer. Don't ever worry about that if you got that in your house. Of course, at that age, if I were to allow Samuel or Luke to use my tools, a real hammer and a real nail, walking around at the age of 2, it might be a different story, right? If I allowed them to use their little Elmo hammer on one of my real nails, it probably would not cause much damage. They would be grossly unsuccessful. They would have no confidence in their ability to really fix things with the tools in their hand. Too often today, we are just the opposite when it comes to the gifts that are given to us. How often do we hold an immensely powerful tool, powerful gifts in our hand, but because we misunderstand its potential in our lives, because we think we're not capable of using it, or we don't understand how God could possibly use this gift for us, that we pass up on the opportunity to use it to build the kingdom. We pass up on the opportunity to share it with others, to share it using that gift to do the work that God has us wanting us to do. 1 Corinthians 14:26 says this, "What is the outcome then, brethren, when you assemble, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has the interpretation. Let all things be done for edification." Each one of us has unique gifts that are meant for building up one another for the building up of the kingdom of God. No matter how young or how old you may be, regardless of how rich or how poor you are, and absolutely independent of what rung on the social ladder that you are on, each of us has a distinct purpose and a function for the kingdom. We have powerful gifts within us, and if we're ready to use it, God is empowering us to use it through the Holy Spirit, and guess what? We will be successful. All we have to do is let Him and say, "God, I'm ready. I'm ready." What is even more powerful than that is the fact that we do not have to rely on our own strength to use these gifts. Oftentimes, that's what we think. It's like, I'm just not ready. I just don't think I can do it. No, you're right. You can't do it. God does it. We have been blessed with the very presence of God within us to enable us for every good work that He wants us to do. We have been given the gift of grace. It is not that we need to earn God's grace. No, what I'm speaking of today is something far greater than anything that you can earn. We have been invited to be kingdom builders on a mission to share the love of God. And in doing so, we're building the very kingdom of God that Christ began when He came to earth. I wonder if that's what the wise men thought as they ventured to visit that new king. We're not sure how they left the Christ child. We're not told anything more about these wise men other than that they left in going a different way. They didn't go back by Herod's kingdom because they were told not to do so. We're not told anything else about how they left. But one thing I'm fairly sure about is they left changed. They were not the same. They left changed because God would not have called them there and have them left leaving the exact same way. They would have had to have been changed. And that's my question to you is this. When you encounter Christ and when you allow the Holy Spirit to start working in you, you are not the same. You are different. You are changed. And how is the Holy Spirit changing you today? And so I ask you this morning the same question I asked you at the beginning of the sermon, the same question I asked you at the beginning of the worship service. What gifts are you bringing to the King because He's ready for you to bring them, because He's ready to change you and to change the world? The Magi brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What are you bringing the Christ child this morning? We have been given the incredible opportunity to partner with the very God of the universe in building His kingdom. The call of Christ is a call to action. It is not a call to waiting because He's already equipped you for the journey. Just as the Magi saw a distant star and followed it to the Christ child, the King of Kings, so too God has given us a sign of His coming and a call to action. At the beginning of the sermon, I told you about a boy named Amal. He gave everything he had, and his life was changed. It is in sharing our most precious gifts that we find healing. It is in loving others. It is sharing our gifts that we become free to receive the most precious gift of all, the grace, the love, and the mercy of Christ in our lives. So this morning, I encourage you to recommit yourself to looking for ways to shower the gifts upon the King this new year as you fulfill His command to let Him love others through you. Because guess what? There's a lot of people out there that need Christ's love this new year. And my guess is He's calling you to share that love. Are you ready? Let's pray. Father, I'm so thankful for individuals that travel thousands of miles for their lives to be changed. And when I think about the journey that they went through and the gifts that they brought, I think about my life, Father, and I think about how little that You ask of me. You've already equipped me with the gifts that You need. And Father, You just call me to go and make a difference every single day, and sharing that love and using those gifts through the power of the Holy Spirit to make a difference in this world. Father, I pray that our congregation answers that call, each one of us individually and us as a congregation, to do the exact same thing, because we have a world that needs the love of Christ. And Father, when we do, we know that You are going to be right there with us, guiding us along just like You sent the star in the sky, and the Holy Spirit will be guiding us the entire way. And for that, we give You thanks this Epiphany Sunday. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. As we come to our time of closing, as we sing our closing hymn this morning, as with gladness men of old, maybe today for the very first time you recognize that Christ has called you to encounter him in a new way. If today is the first time you know that you've encountered a Christ child and your life has been changed, I'll be down front. Let me talk to you about what it means to embrace him for the first time. Or maybe today you've been journeying and you've been looking for a church home that seeks to honor Christ and use the gifts that the congregation has been blessed with. First Baptist Elon can be that home for you. I'll talk to you about what it means to be a part of our church family. Or maybe you've been off the path for a little while and today has been a day that you see the stars guided you back. Maybe you need just someone to pray with you. I'll be down front. The altar is always open. It's God's altar. It's not mine. You know, if whatever it is, make the commitment today. Don't put it off. Let today be a change for the better as we move into this new year. Let's stand and sing our closing hymn this morning. Prepare to leave today. Reminder, anybody who wants to stay to help, enjoy the time of lunch upstairs in the fellowship, all are invited to stay. But as you go, go knowing that you have the gifts inside of you that God has blessed you with. Allow the Holy Spirit to move and work through you to make a difference in the world this year. Go in peace.